We've been traveling from the beginning of the year, and at the end of the year, we will return with our bountiful harvest. Every month this year, we produce your harvest. Can I hear a louder amen? But when you look at what the Lord has again brought us into this month, talking about walking in the Spirit, and then you also look at the word of Paul when he said, I planted, Apollo waters. He said, but when it comes to increase, it's of the Lord. Are you following me? He said, it's of the Lord. Even if I've done all my part to do all the planting, that is human. Yes, it's also law of harvest, because sowing and reaping, they are all parts, you know, and as long as the heart remains, seed time, harvest will not cease. But then I do my part to plant as human. Apollos also come a partner in what I do, in what God has called me to do. You must understand that whatever you are called to do, you are not called to do it alone. There are people you are called together to do it. And that's why the Bible says, God look at man and say, it is not good that a man should be alone. So it's not limited to marriage alone. Are you following me now? So it's talking about relationship. One of the things that amplifies our work, our life, our destiny, and make things look so beautiful and even simplify it, is our relationship. God given relationships that he has given unto us. But then, you see, when Apollos has done his own part too, Paul said, when it comes to the increase, it is God that determines it. And because we know everything about God is spiritual, and in fact, God is so spiritual that he couldn't do anything here on earth. So he needed to create a man with a body. That's why he created man. So that whatever he needed to do on earth, he can through man do what he needed to do. So God is a spirit. Everything he does is spiritual. So we can say that there is, when it comes to harvest or the law of harvest, there is the spiritual dimension to it. Are you getting me? Or let me even tell us that it is more of a spiritual dimension. So with this understanding, let us travel together today. So I will be reading few scriptures. Galatians chapter 5, please note them. Galatians chapter 5 from verse 16 to 18, and verse 25, and then verse 4. Galatians 5, verse 16, verse 17, verse 18, verse 25, and then verse 4. And then I'll also be reading James chapter 2, verse 26. And I will try and read all this scripture now, just to form the foundation for the word of God. And make sure you are writing all these scriptures down so that you get to them, and then you'll be able to fall back and go over the word of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 to 2. Okay, Galatians chapter 5. Even though I would have loved to... let's see James first. James chapter 2, verse 26. James 2, 26. Are we together? Are we together, please? Thank you. James 2, 6 says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without work is dead also. Take note of that. The body without the spirit is dead. So we are looking at the spiritual dimension now. It says, so faith also without work is dead. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, now 16, 18, 17, 18. He said, this I say then, walk in the spirit. I think we are familiar with this since the beginning of the month. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. I hope you always understand that there is an ongoing battle. For your sake and my sake, between the spirit and the flesh. He says, so that you cannot do the things that you would. That is where our victory is determined. You see, your response to things, are you going to respond out of flesh or you are going to respond as a man of the Spirit, is a man who understands things of the Spirit. Are you following me now? That is where your victory, your winning or your losses is determined. It's a spiritual thing. Let me read on. It says, so that you cannot do the things you will do. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And that is my focus today. How do you come out of under the law? See, law can limit a man. Even though you are in the Christ, but you are in crisis because you have subjected yourself to law. Let's read on. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So this walking we are talking about starts by living. If you are not living it, you can't walk it. If you can't walk it, you can't be led into it. Did you get it, the thing now? Did you get how it works? You must live it to walk it and be led into it. And if you get this thing right and get to the point of being led into it, the Bible says in verse 18, you are not under the law. So how do you come out of under the law? That's the focus today. So in verse 4, that's in Galatians 5, verse 4 says, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Why? Whosoever of you are justified by the law. You make Christ of no effect. And therefore you are falling from the grace that bought you. Grace bought you here. So you can't be talking of law. You can't be limiting your life to law. And when we are talking about the law, we are talking about, actually, here, Paul was referring to the Mosaic law, the law of Moses. And you know, this is one of the things that limited the Pharisees in the days of Jesus' earthly ministry. When Jesus says something, they will refer him to the law of Moses. Are you greater than our father, Abraham? Are you greater than our father Jacob? They keep referring Jesus to the law. Now the lawmaker is here. Yet you are trying to make the law for the lawmaker. He's the one who gave the law. Now he's telling you, now there is a New Testament. Grace has come. Yet they cannot understand. Can I pray for you in understanding? May you understand. May you be delivered from law. May you be delivered from everything that has limited your life up until now. Don't know if I'm safe to say this online. You see, one of the law is this. When church started, what people are used to is morning service. It's strange to have afternoon church service. This is 21st century where you have to do church online because you can actually have more people online. But yes, some people are still fighting this thing. You know the problem? Talk to me. What's the problem? The law. There is a limitation. You see, when a man is too lawful, he will become lawless. I mean, you will get to a point you are trying to teach the law giver, the law. Is that not what happened to Peter? Acts of Apostles chapter 9. I mean, Jesus came and there was a revelation. He knew it was a revelation. And the Lord told him, arise, kill it. And Peter said, he knew it was the Lord. And then he said, not so, Lord. You knew it was the Lord. Yes. Then what is hindering you? The Lord. What was his excuse after the revelation? He said, I've been young, now I'm old. I have kept to the law. He's even telling the Lord how faithful he has been to the law. I have not ate any forbidden animal all this while. I have been so faithful. I am righteous. I am this and that. Peter, arise, kill and eat. Not so, Lord. He has been so lawful to the point of teaching God what is right and what is wrong. And I hope you know that even in our generation, we have come to that point now, that people know too much of the law, too much of theology, too much of the Greek, that we now have so much misinterpretation of the Bible. Anyway, let's move forward. Today you will be delivered. There shall be understanding unto you. Let me read Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, 1 and 2. Can we have that on the screen? That I wish everybody could read that together. It's a very beautiful scripture, Romans 8. I love it so much, particularly that verse 1. It said, there is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who what? Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. They are not limited. They are not condemned. Why? They are walking by the Spirit, not by the flesh. If you know, you know. If you don't know, you don't know. Stay back and condemn them. Stay back and become their janitor and begin to say, why will he do that? Why will he do that? Before you know, they have overtaken you. There is no condemnation to them. One day, Jesus and his disciple, they were going by, and the disciples were hungry. And for whatever reason, Jesus decided to pass through the corn and not beside the corn. This is corn. It could have, there is no way in the field now. There shouldn't be way in the field. It should be there should be a wayside. But Jesus knew they were hungry, and on a Sabbath day decided to pass through the corn. And you know what? He didn't say one word. He didn't say, now we pass, eat. He just passed. Himself didn't eat. They are the one hungry. So he passed through the corn without any word, no instruction. And you know what the disciples did? They started pulling the thing and started eating. And then being a Sabbath day, the law people came. You know the law people. I said, Jesus, look at your disciples. Why would they do this on a Sabbath day? And he told them, the Lord of the Sabbath is here. Didn't you read about David when he was hungry together with those who are with him? He got to the temple, he asked for bread. And the priest told him, only the bread reserved for the priests are available. He said, bring it. He's supposed to die. He didn't die. Before that time, nobody has ate a shoe bread who is not a priest. There would have been a condemnation. But now there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ, to them who walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Give me verse 2, please. Today, your light will be, your eyes will be enlightened. He said, for the law of the Spirit of life. You see, this law we are talking about, understanding the law of the Spirit, this law gives life. It's a law of life. Are you following me? If you are writing, write it down. It's a law that brings you into life. It's a law that bats life and many life out of you. He said, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. What did he do? He made me free. He brings freedom. He brings liberty from the law of sin and death. So this law of the spirit is a law of life that brings deliverance. Somebody say amen. And then there is the other law, which is the physical. The one the Bible refers to as the law of sin and death. So what this other law many of us are used to brings is death. I mean, we are not talking of physical death here. We are talking of a spiritual death. Something dies in you while you are still alive. Are you not surprised that at 75, God will look at a man we will call old man? I say, come up to a land that I will show you. At the time, you ought to have given up. God said, no, I have something, a bigger plan for you. And while he waited for the promise of God, at his old age, 99, waited and waited and waited. The promise of God has not come. And then God said, according to the time of life, it will happen. And because this law is a law that bats life, the same situation, Sarah look at and say, my God, this is impossible. And the Bible said she laughed. Abraham received, according to Romans chapter 4, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. And it becomes a life unto him, quickening every deadness in his body. So when you operate under this law of life, it brings life to your life. It makes anything possible. Are you getting me? Because it's a law of life. It brings life to everything that you do. Dead situation, dead body, impossibility. It does bring life to them. Because it's a spirit, life-giving spirit. So let me quickly establish, if there is the law of the spirit, so there is also the law of the flesh, or the law of sin and death. Did you understand that? So it's not up to individual to determine whether I'm coming for this law of the spirit which gives life, or the law of flesh that brings death. Praise the Lord. Now if you understand, follow the law of the spirit, scripture says you are not under the law. And I'm going to go further, even beyond the Mosaic law, to other laws, nature's law. So when they look, why fighting? He look at the law of nature, and the sun is going down. He said, no. You son, stay. I'm still fighting. And according to his word, the sun hardened. If he had not understand the law of spirit, he would have said, well, it's a normal thing for the sun to go down, and he will accept it, and that would have become his defeat. You can change things. I can take it you want. And don't accept the lie of any form of law. Law of science is there. And law of science has a way of explaining what itself does not understand. (Laughter) They will tell you, baby, grow, baby, do this, baby.
But I used to fear God and I used to tremble when I see doctors who are trusting God for the same child that they can scientifically explain. If you can explain it, why can't you have it? So explanation is not the same as experience. So science may explain it. It's more spiritual.
I mean, sometimes last week I was going through Oluyole and I saw treatment for cancer. And I actually parked in front of the place and I didn't know, thank God nobody was with me. I didn't know when I was speaking to myself. I said, hey, Monka Toshi, if you can treat the thing, why are people dying?
I've seen people come out.
I know of a woman. This is more than 15 years testimony. So it's not, maybe he's going to, she's going to fall. No. More than 15 years, in fact, going to 20 years. This woman was diagnosed of cancer. UCH. Was placed on the bed, ready to die. Did you hear what I'm saying? Ready to die. And then, in fact, it was Bishop who told us. Because it was one of the members that the Adelaku told us this. And he told the woman, leave the hospital and come. And the doctor said, well, you have to sign. You know them now. Some of you, when they ask you to sign, it's as if, I can't sign you. Oh, yeah, go and do it. I think that thing is not, signing that thing is not death sentence. You sign it for faith. And your faith will make you whole. So, and they said, well, if anything happened, it is you that you left hospital. And the woman got to church. And Bishop said she was sentenced to the altar. Today, to the glory of God, that woman is living her life. Not 1 month, not two, not 1 year, not 5 years, not 10 years. After she has been told, you have few weeks to live. So what I'm teaching you today is how, by operating in the spirit, you can change things. You can nullify every law. Law of science, law of nature, law of anything. And how you can also be led of the Spirit, such that even when the Lord is leading you to do what you cannot even find in the Word of God, or what you have not seen. And when I say you didn't find the Word of God, I'm not saying, no, it has to be confirmed though by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. Are you getting me? But what I'm saying in essence is this: you have not actually seen anybody do it before. I mean, I also had the story of the testimony of Dr. Ogwele. He said there is a wound on his feet, and the wound has been there for a long time. And each time we will pray to God, God heal me, God do the, and he has, add on manners of medical and medications. The thing is just there, it will go, it will come back. And then one day he prayed about it, God, this thing, heal me. And then while praying, he said, he slept off, so to say. And then in that revelation, he's in the dream, and the man was plucking a particular leaf. Are you getting me? A particular leaf. And then that particular leaf that he saw, by the time he woke up, he felt led in his spirit man that the Lord will want him to do that, because he has
that particular leaf in his compound. So he went, he told his wife, they both went, plugged it in, are you getting me, and put the water from that leaf on the wound. And that was the end of that issue. Was that in the Bible? As Moses, Abraham, Paul, did any one of them do that before? So, being led of the Spirit, ability to be sensitive to the details of the Spirit at all times, that's what we are emphasizing here today. Note this: if you live by the law as a New Testament believer, you are spiritually lawless. I repeat, if as a New Testament believer, you live by the law, you are spiritually lawless. So today, I am trusting the Lord to help you live, learn to live by grace that has bought you. According to Romans 3:20, Galatians 2:21. Then as New Testament believer, in this message, I'm trusting the Lord to emphasize faith in Christ as the basis for your righteousness, or for our righteousness, rather than adhering to the law. Then we should know that as believers, we are called to live by the Spirit, not living by the law. Guided by the principles of love, faith, and grace, and coming out of the dictates of law, Galatians 5:18, Romans 8 verse 2 that we read the other time. So I trust the Lord that after you have heard this word of God today, this is going to happen to your life. You will be free from the law. You will receive freedom from the law. Thank you for saying amen. Because believers are not bound by the law. For believers, the law is not a means to justification. No, it is the grace of God. Romans 6:14. Secondly, you will come into spiritual maturity where you will know who you are in Christ Jesus. Say loud, amen. Where and whereby you will know you are a commander and you command things to happen. So that you can begin to live the life of spiritual maturity, guided by spirit and characterized by the love of God, joy and peace, and other fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians 5:22-23. So I'm trying to emphasize the work of grace, faith, love, and a spirit-led life for every believer. If you can do this, you will ride with the wings of eagle. Did you get it? You will ride with the wings of eagle. So in James chapter 2, verse 26. So Jesus talk, scripture talk about the, can we go over it again? Can we go over it? The body without the spirit. So faith without work is dead. So what gives meaning to the body is the spirit. So what also helps our faith is also our walk. And this walk now has to be spirit-led. Did you understand? This is it. Now in, I don't know if I should read the scripture, James said so much in that chapter 2 of the book of James. And it was talking about the walk. If you say you have faith, show me walk. Show me your walk. It says, faith without walk, he said, is a dead faith. So this walk we are talking about, you know, in that James 2:26, he said, for as the body without the spirit is dead. Huh? He said, so faith without what? Without walk. It's also what? It's also dead. So, we need to understand that if we say we are people of faith, are you still with me? And we are led by the Spirit of God every time, there is a work to do at every given time. And this work is not the one you copy your neighbor. You know, we do a lot of copy and copy. It's not the one you copy your neighbor. But the one you knew God wants you to do. Did you understand now? There is a walk. Did you understand? No, I'm asking you. Did you understand? That body without the what? Talk to me. Say it. Body without what? There's spirit. What does that mean? Death. Did you get? So is faith without work. Thank you. It's also what? Talk to me. It's also what? Death. If you say it, the thing will be sinking. It's death. So if you are now saying you are spirit walking, you are, according to that verse 25 of Galatians chapter 5, that you live by the Spirit. He said, when we live by the Spirit, we should also walk by the Spirit. So if you claim you live by the Spirit as a New Testament believer, then you are expected to walk by the Spirit. And then that same Galatians chapter 5, in verse 17, he said, if ye are led by the Spirit, are you getting me? You will not fulfill the law of the flesh. So in other words, if you are now living by the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, then you must be led by the Spirit. If you get it to that point, wave your right hand to me. I want to help you today to get to the point where you can change anything. Because as a matter of fact, please put this scripture on the screen. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Ephesians 1:3. Let me show you something important. If you don't come to this spirit realm life, every of your blessing in life, you will not be able to touch anyone. Look at Ephesians 1:3. He said, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Say, who hath blessed us. Thank you. But what is the description of this blessing? He said, with all spiritual blessings in the blessings are spiritual. And where are they, please? Where do you need them? So you must be in the spirit to do the conversion at all the time, at all times. You know what belongs to you. and you stand to take it. You are not accepting any law. They tell you this is the norms. Say no. I know what God told me. No, I know what I had. No, I know what. And they are in heaven. You need them on earth. So you must be a man of the spirit who can travel the spirit, who can lead the spirit, who can be led by the spirit to have all your spiritual blessings. If you also understand it to this point, say louder, amen. Let's move forward. So submission to the law of the spirit elevates you as a super warrior. Spirituality signifies superiority. Why carnality lead to calamity? So your being spiritual signifies your superiority over and above every law. And that's why in every place you get to, it is the spiritual people that dominates. Whether rightly spiritual or demonically spiritual, everything is spiritual because it's a spiritual world. And every atmosphere has its own, every place has its own atmosphere. Every place has its own atmosphere. And the atmosphere is spiritually controlled. You can't see it. It is spiritually controlled. So when you are spiritual, you become superior. But carnality will lead to calamity. Submission to the law of the spirit elevates you. You will be granted wisdom, knowledge, understanding, direction. And your capacity is expanded for greater impact. Your capacity to do beyond what is normal is greatly increased. Greatly increased. So when the Bible says you are not under the law, these are the law you talk about. First, I told you the law of Moses, which is the law of also there, and so on and so forth. Many laws, many principles. In fact, everywhere we get to, every field of endeavor, every place, every nature, there is a law that governs there, that works, that rules there. Whether physical, whether spiritual, whether organization, even in your own house, there are laws. I've been many years ago, I was still a teenager and I got to a house and I saw on the wall, touch not. Well, if I don't touch, no wala. So I actually saw the wall is so neat, unlike the one in our house. Praise God. And actually we went there for vigil. And you know what happened in the vigil now? They want to lean on the wall. So I found out that when we want to lean on the wall, the owner of the house is so, in fact, his mind is divided between the prayer and watching people. And when somebody wants to lean, Oga, don't lean. But so in my head, I'm like, but it is don't touch now, not lean. That's a law in a house. In your own house, there are also laws. Is that true? You tell your children, don't do this, don't do that. The reason why children get more beaten is because they break certain laws. Higher standard. I told you the other time, if as a New Testament believer, you are subjected to law, you are lawless. But
if you learn to walk in the Spirit indeed and be led by the Spirit, you are not lawless. You will set new standards. Lawyers, they always refer, in every case, they will refer to the old cases that brought certain victory or the other. They will say, in the case of so-and-so, this is what happened, and this was the decision of the law. So, those who walk in the Spirit, so what is the law of the Spirit we are talking about? It is called the royal law, of your neighbor as yourself. He said you are doing well. This is the royal law, the law of love. And the entire law that was given to Moses was summarized into love. Galatians 5:14. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 to 40, Jesus was answering the Pharisees who came to tempt him. He said, this is the law, the greatest of law. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. He said, this is the first and the greatest. He said, the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. He said, on these two commandments depend the laws, the law and the prophets. And in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, when the scripture was summarizing, talking about the fruit of the Spirit, he said, the fruit of the Spirit is love. The expressions of love: joy, peace, long suffering, meekness, temperance, and so on and so forth. So, the law of the Spirit is what? Love. I hope you are attentive. So let me quickly talk about three things about the law of the Spirit. The law of love guides you to have actions that accompany your faith. Actions that accompany your faith. And now, the other time, I was talking about what the book of James said. James chapter 2, verse 14 to 18 and verse 24. He said, what good is this, my brother, if someone says he has faith and doesn't have work? He said, can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you say to him, go in peace and warm so also faith by itself, if it does not have work, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have work. Show me your faith apart from your work, and I will show you my faith by my work. Verse 24, you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. So what the law of love helps you to do for us is to guide you to actions that accompany your faith. So for example, we talk about the Good Samaritan. He was going, but before him, are you still following me? The Levite came. Who else now? The priest also passed. They saw this man dying in his own blood. Look. The priest is being led to somewhere. Amen. But now, as he's being led, he saw a man in the pool of his blood. And because he didn't understand this royal law, the Bible says he turned another way. The Levite also came. He also turned another way. But then came a complete stranger, a Samaritan. But who is also going somewhere? So we can say the three of them, they are being led because they pass through the same route. Are you getting me? But then this Samaritan had an understanding. And so he paused in his journey. Are you still with me, please? Are we still together? He paused in his journey. There was a diversion. And he took that man. He forgot about his own journey. And he took that
that man to the hospital, take good care of him, and then he handed him over to them in the hospital before he continued in his journey. And he said, everything he needed, I've given. If you spend more, I will come and pay you when I come back. And because of that singular action and walk with faith, Jesus made him an example, meaning that he has done what is right and perfect. That is the work we are talking about with your faith. Let me give you another scriptural example. When enemy came and took everything David had, I think 1 Samuel 30, and he came, he met everything empty together with his men, and they were crying. And the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. And after that prayer, are you with me, please? After the prayer, he asked the Lord, shall I go? Shall I pursue? Will I overtake? While going, he met this sick Egyptian. Can you see the similarity? The Samaritan the other time met a Jew. Opposite. People that they don't have relationship. Then David met an Egyptian. He should have also passed. Don't forget, he wants to go and rescue his wife and the children and his entire family. Are you getting me? But then himself and his men, they pause. They took care of these. If you read your Bible very well, it's not 1 hour that they pause. The Bible says they gave him food until his spirit revived. What told them that, after giving the man food, number one, why did they pause? He's about to die. In fact, the man said, my master left me to die. But they saw this man that is to die, and they pause. And not only did they pause and stop, they gave him food. Not only did they give him food, they gave him everything that will make him to revive. And they were there waiting for him to revive, to come alive. Even though they were urgently on the move for the recovery of their lost family, but something told David, wait and take care of him. The law of love. Being guided by the Spirit, that if you have faith for anything, you must look for the work of love in it to support that faith. So you can't say you walk in the Spirit and then you are out of love. You can't say you have faith without love. It doesn't work. And of course, when we talk about this faith, this love to God, love to your neighbors. Number two, let me quickly run. The law of love guards you against the error of partiality. According to James chapter 2, verse 1 to 6. And it was talking about a gathering, and then a rich man comes in. He said, you will give that rich man an important seat because you think he's an important person. But he said, make sure you do the same to the poor. Otherwise, you will be partial. And can I ask you, don't we do it? Don't you reference rich people? In fact, I used to say this to our women. The way you honor your pastor, do you honor your husband like that? Are you listening to me? The way you honor your pastor, thank you, I'm a pastor, I receive honor. Honor of God upon my life. But I also desire that our women, the way you honor your pastor, you kneel for your pastor, you can also kneel for your husband. But the Bible says, as the head of the church, to do with women, that you don't just size up your husband anymore as if he doesn't have anything, as if he doesn't amount to anything. And because you have the same certificate and degree, you are equal. No, you are not equal. If you understand
the law of God. So you are not partial in any way. So this will bring a balance to your perspective, and it's going to prevent a biased judgment in all that you do, ensuring that you treat everyone equally and you align yourself with God's plan. We come out of partiality. You know, there are so many things that make us to be partial. Ethnicity, color, race, culture, status, you know, class is this, it's not in my class, it's not in my color, and so on and so forth. All these things make us to be partial. Who tell you God is white? And who tell you God is black? Is God an European? Is God a redeemer? Is God a member of Christ's Possibility Center? I mean, even in the body of Christ, we got to the point of if she's not or is not from my church. No, it's the same one God, one baptism, one Lord. Amen. No. I mean, once that church is preaching Christ, we are brothers. So I ask you, why are we fighting one another online now? And then after fighting, as we are fighting, you know, since it is an open space for everybody, you will see unbeliever, they will also join. I mean, we are fighting online. The only thing now, talk that in my shape, is to do physical dash. And probably to report on Genio, maybe because this one is in Lagos, this one is in Calabar. Did they meet? I mean, so with that, are we going to say we walk in the spirit? I mean, and all we are trying to defend, doctrine, I've not be doctrine, people defy for. He preached this. Are you Jesus janitor? People now. People. So in other words, you come out of all that makes a biased judgment. And I've showed you an example of Peter the other time in Acts chapter 10. You see, God was saying, arise, kill, and eat. He knew it was God. But you see, because of his cultural background and religious sentiments, he couldn't do what God wanted him to do in that revelation until the revelation went up. And by the time God told him, okay, these two men, I've sent them, follow them. And even when he got to the house of Cornelius, he was saying, you know, how will you? We don't have a relationship. I mean, God sent you to people. And then you are telling the fellow, you know, you are not qualified for this grace. Are you the owner of the grace? Is that not the way we look at people and we judge people because of their outlook? Amen. Am I making sense unto you? I mean, a lot of people will have come in into the kingdom and joined the kingdom, but because of our biased judgment, if God is looking for people, this one, God cannot get this one again. Okay, when we get to heaven, a lot of surprises. May you yourself make heaven. I mean, who could have told that thief make heaven that last hour? Who could have told? I mean, that thief that told Jesus, remember me in your kingdom. Didn't he make heaven? Didn't Jesus said, you will be with me in my kingdom today? I mean, despite his life, the last time, that guy make heaven. Please, let's come out of all our biased judgment so that we can live a life that is rich in the love of God to our neighbors, to everywhere we live, everywhere God send us, so that we can do many great works for God, so that we can walk in love, so that we can break down every wall of partiality in our hearts, so that whatever God is asking you to do, you can do it. Let me quickly run through this as we close. Now, look at how Paul obeyed the Lord in Acts of Apostles chapter 16. He wanted to go to different places. The Spirit forbid him. Acts 16, verse 6 to 10. Until he saw a revelation of a man that said, come to Macedonia, come and help us. That's a spirit-led life we are talking about. You know this thing that is humanly right that you want to do. Humanly, it is right. But God is saying, no, that is not what I want you to do. How many of us know that the Spirit can dress you up? How many of you understand that? It can dress you up. It can tell you clothes to wear. Can I see hands? Have you had that experience before? That after wear, why you should wear that cloth at that moment, you don't know. But because you obey, the event that followed that day, you are like, God, thank God. I mean, you are on the queue. And then somebody said, yes, that lady in red. Ah, and then you tell yourself, thank God that we are red today. Are you getting me? That's what we are talking about. And then you will have great harvest. I mean, at Macedonia, Paul did great works. Of course, he had great trouble. He was in prison. But you see, that jailer and his family was saved. It was a great harvest. Let me show you another example. Jesus the Greater. Jesus the Greater was baptized by John the Lesser. Matthew 3, 15 to 17. It is part of being led by the Spirit. You see, if you are led by the Spirit, you must be humble. Because there are so many foolish instructions of God. Foolish obedience. Foolish instructions, rather. Foolish instructions. You look at it, humanly speaking. Oh boy, the thing is, it's not, it doesn't make sense. But it may not make sense. Once it is spiritual, go for it. The mother said, whatever I ask you to do, do it. Can you get me water for the wine you needed? And that was all. Foolish instruction. How can the lesser baptize the greater? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And this tells you this. When you are praying for God to lift you, God can use anybody to raise you. Did you hear what I said? You are praying for God to raise you, to help you. God can use anybody to raise you, including somebody that is lesser to you. It can be a younger one. It can be somebody that you can even say, God, if it is possible, another fellow. But God is saying, that is my plan. Does that make sense to you? And if you are indeed ready for the divine elevation, you just have to accept the arrangement of God. But if you are saying, God, change it, then I pray God will rescue you. So what of Elijah? God gave him instruction. He said he should hide himself. I just hope we can understand all these things. A man powerful like Elijah, God told him, "Oga, hide yourself." It's still an instruction. It's a foolish instruction. But you see, when we talk about living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, being led of the Spirit, it's all about what God has to say, not what you are thinking, what is common, not what you are thinking, not your idea. Whatever he said to you, you do it. And what you feel God is leading you to do, you just obey, you just do it. Even when everybody is questioning it, you are just there. What is the name of this child? Since the father cannot speak, can we give it the name of his father? Zachariah. The mother said, no, it's not Zachariah. It's John. Said, what are you saying? Nobody in the family bear that name. No. We are not going to allow that. Okay. Why the argument was on, can we give the father, if he cannot speak, at least he can write. The man wrote, John. Instantly, boom, that was healing. Foolish things. So you want to walk in the Spirit, you must be ready to obey foolish instructions of God. It doesn't make sense, but it's spiritual sense. There is a spiritual sense. It doesn't make common sense, but it makes spiritual
sense. So Elijah also, I told you, was asked to hide himself, and he did, and he was taken care of. Even in this ongoing, you know, economic challenge and whatever in our nation, you can survive it. Not only will you survive it, you can flourish in it if you will allow God to lead you. There is a saying in Yoruba, it says Ise Kolowo. Do you understand that? You don't understand Ise Kolowo. I thought you said you know Yoruba. Okay, I thought you said you know Yoruba. Ise Kolowo means, somebody help me now. You don't earn. Your earning is not by how much you work. And I think that balances with is that Psalm what now? Psalm 127. No, it's not by how much you rise, how much you... No, it's not. It's not. It is by the leadings of God. And let me also say this. I used to think, why are many Christians poor? Why are many Christians struggling financially? And one of the reasons is fear. One of the reasons is, even when we know God is leading us to do these things, you see, there is a sentiment that is holding you back. There is a cultural sentiment. There is a religious sentiment. I mean, while I was growing up, somebody told me, he said, when she received faith, in their days when they received faith, they were told that as many that are going to heaven should not pray, think, or talk about money. That anybody, those who talk about money, they are going to hell. That was the faith she received. The faith I received told me, I am a king, I am a priest. Praise God. Now she wants to force her faith on me. I refuse. Thank God I refuse. The last time I saw that woman, she's an old woman now. She was standing on the road. I wish I could pick her that day, but something told me, I hope she will not preach the same message to me. I'm telling you, life story. Real life story. I saw her on the road. I felt, let me pause. Let me stop. But I also told myself, I don't want unnecessary stress. Because you can't give it to me and take it. I will throw it back to you. And that day, I think I was busy. I need to go somewhere. I don't have time. So why are many Christians poor? Because we are afraid, because of wrong, you know, teachings. Please, let's go home. Let's rise to our feet. Are you blessed today? So let me just stop there. Let me stop. The number three point I will have told you is the law of love guides you to obedience. It guides you to obedience and keeping the whole law, especially those that are seemingly foolish divine instruction. That is what I'm trying to amplify now. So Ecclesiastes 12:13, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It says, fear God, keep his commandments. He said, for this is the whole duty of man. From this day forward, may you be led by the Spirit. So can you just commit yourself to the Lord in prayer and say, Father, from this day forward, I will live by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, and I will fulfill my destiny. All that God wants me to be and to do, I will not fail anymore. Are you praying already? Thank you for your word. Bless God for his word. Bless God, give him praise and glory. And pray, commit yourself to the hands of the Lord, that God will help you. You will live by the Spirit. You will walk by the Spirit. You will be led of the Holy Spirit. Whatsoever is leading you to do, you will always do. Anymore. You will not miss your time and chance anymore. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.